Turn with me, if you will, please, this morning. We're going to read just one single scripture. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. For the last several weeks, the Lord has just kind of been leading me in this direction. I want to title my message this morning, Hungry for God. Hungry for God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we're reading in the red this morning the words of Jesus. And he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Everybody say, "They shall be filled." Bow your heads. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his anointing and his help in ministering his word. Father, I thank you that I sense the presence of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise of filling our hungry hearts. Lord, we come to the ministry of the word of the living God, and I confess of my own ability, I am inadequate. I'm inadequate to impart what you have placed in my heart, but I pray this morning that if you will anoint me and that you will touch me, that you will quicken my thoughts, put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. Let them come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bear witness with these that are here and those that will listen on the internet. I pray above all things, Lord, that you will let Christ Jesus be glorified and that you will let the people of God be edified and stirred. Bless me now with your anointing and with liberty that I may be a blessing to those that hear. And we ask these things this morning in the awesome name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Hungry for God. As we look at God's word this morning, I want to talk to you about the level of our hunger, or the level of our thirst for the things of God. If you were here last week, you will remember that I preached about the priority of passion, or having a passion in our relationship with God. I talked last week about the necessity and the need to passionately be serving God and to be passionate about our love for God. This morning, I want you to understand that our level of passion and the level with which we make God a priority in our lives is birthed by the level of our hunger. Let that sink in for a moment. Passion is the result of a fervent hunger. Passion is the result of an insatiable appetite. And I'm not talking about the appetite of the natural man. Amen. Passion is a result of an insatiable, fierce appetite. Passion is derived from an aching hunger deep within our hearts. Hunger creates passion. Hunger creates passion. When you get hungry or a longing or a desire in your heart for something, you're going to do everything in your power to attain whatever it is that you are longing for. Can you say amen? Our level of passion for God is directly interconnected with our level of hunger and our desire for God. Our level of passion for God is completely and consistently the level of our hunger and our craving for the things of God. And what I'm saying this morning is that if we are hungry for more of God and we are hungry for the things of God, then that hunger and that desire will motivate us to cause us to passionately make both God and the things of God a priority in our life. If you are hungering for the things of God, those things are going to become a priority in your life. If there is a lack of hunger, there will be a lack of passion. Hello? If there is a lack of passion or a lack of hunger or desire, a lack of a longing, then there is going to be a lack of passion for God and the things of God. Hunger is a very powerful motivator. Hello? Hunger is a very potent and compelling incentive. Hunger is a powerful driving force. Hunger is that deep sense of need that will not and cannot find fulfillment in anything, amen, or any satisfaction in anything unless it is filled whatever it is longing for. And our, beloved, our heart should be longing for the things of God and God in our lives. Hunger motivates us and pushes us and causes us to seek out the desire of our heart. Hunger motivates and pushes us to seek out the object that will satisfy our longing soul. Amen. Let me use the natural this morning to explain the spiritual. How many of you have ever been really, really hungry in your natural man? I mean, I'm not just talking about, yeah, I could use a little something kind of snack. I'm talking about I am hungry. I'm talking about hunger, the kind of hunger that will cause your belly to think that your throat has been slit. The kind of hunger that will cause your belly to think that someone wired your jaw shut. Have you ever been there? The kind of hunger that convinces you that you could eat the north end of a southbound mule without any problem. Am I helping anybody? I'm talking about hungry. And I will tell on myself, all right? Because they say that confession is good for the soul. And I will just confess and tell on myself. So there are most often than not. I was going to say there are times. It really is most often than not. I'm up in the morning at 5:30, shower, have my coffee, and I hit the door by 6:30, and I am out the door, headed to work. I have a very busy schedule. I do not eat breakfast, and oftentimes lunch rolls around, and I am busy, and I am preoccupied, and I don't take the time to stop and eat lunch. Somebody said, Pastor Gary, that's not healthy. You're right, I know that. I take full responsibility for my indiscretion, right? But 5:30, 6 o'clock, and the day starts to wind down. And suddenly, I'm hungry. I'm not just snacky kind of hungry. I am hangry. Hangry, that's a combination of hungry and angry. Hello? And no Snickers bar is going to quiet me down. I mean, when you stop and think about it, I mean, I know nutritionally it's not the most optimal way to eat or most optimal way to go about your day, but it just happens. I'm just saying, it just happens sometimes. But by 5:30, 6 o'clock, I haven't had anything to eat since 5:30 or 6 o'clock yesterday. And something has awakened the beast on the inside. And I am hungry. And I look at my wife when she comes in from work and I go, baby, I am starving to death. And I know you can look at me and tell that that's not true. I have reserves, but it don't feel like I have reserves. I mean, I am, if you set your sandwich down, I may eat it because I'm hungry kind of thing, you know. Hey, amen. I mean, I am hungry. I am hungry. I mean, I am ready for something to eat. And one of the biggest understatements, when I get to feeling that way, one of the biggest understatements in Scripture is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. And this is what it says. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted in the wilderness. And in those days he did eat nothing for 40 days. And this is the understatement. And afterward, he was hungry. Really? You think? I get to thinking, you know, Lord God, Gary, you can't even go a whole day without doing without. I'm hungry. Hunger and thirst are a very natural part of our human experience. Our physical body, amen, needs the basics of food and water. In fact, I submit to you that one of the clearest indications that something is physically wrong is when we lose our appetite. If someone is physically not well or emotionally not well, they will lose their appetite. Someone who is grieving or someone who is troubled or someone who is not physically well, the first thing to go is the appetite. Can I tell you, there is a spiritual equivalent to that natural. One of the first things to go when something is not right in our spirit is our spiritual appetite. One of the things that goes is our spiritual appetite. Where there once was a hunger for the things of God, and where there once was a longing and a hunger and a gnawing for, amen, a closer relationship with the Lord, suddenly something else has taken that place. What I want us to recognize this morning is that there is both a physical hunger and there is a spiritual hunger. There is a physical hunger that needs nourishing food, and there is a spiritual hunger that only God can fill. I will tell you this morning, there are many people in this world that are trying to fill a spiritual hunger with the things of this world. And they are trying to find something that brings satisfaction to that gnawing place in their heart. I want you to know something this morning. The only thing that can satisfy that spiritual hunger is the things of God and the very presence of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit, when he began to put this on my heart, almost 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit began to lay this upon my heart, and I feel like the Lord just wanted me to ask you this morning, are you hungry? Are you hungry? I'm not talking about hungry for a Big Mac. I'm not talking about, amen, hungry for a McMuffin sandwich. I'm talking about, are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry for a closer relationship with the Lord? Are you desperately in need of having your spiritual man fed? Are you hungry for a life-changing encounter with the presence of the Lord, like Paul on the road to Damascus? Are you hungry for an encounter that is so powerful and so majestic that it literally, radically changes your life? Amen, and your heart to the point that you are never the same again. Tommy Tenney, in his devotional, Experiencing His Presence, Devotions for God Chasers, Praise a Prayer, that illustrates what I'm saying this morning. He writes, and I quote, "Lord Jesus," it's my prayer, "Lord Jesus, my soul aches at the mention of your name. There's a longing down inside of me at just the mention of your name. My heart leaps at every rumor of your coming, and my heart leaps at the possibility that you will manifest your presence. I'm not satisfied," he says, "with mere spiritual dainties, amen, but I'm ravenously hungry for the fullness of the Spirit of God. I am desperate to feast on the bread of your presence and quench my thirst with the wine of your Spirit." I said, are you hungry for the things of the Lord? Are you hungry for the things of God? Amen. Are you tired of church as usual? Are you tired, amen, of just a touch here and there? Are you tired of just a shower of blessings? And you want to be engulfed with the power and the presence and the anointing of an almighty God that'll change your life. I'm that kind of hungry. I'm that kind of hungry. Are we hungry for the things of the Lord? Are we hungry and longing for a more intimate relationship? Does our heart leap at the thought of the presence of the Holy Spirit showing up and just taking our church service another direction? Hello? Amen. Amen. I'm desperate to feast upon the word of the living God. I got some good news for you this morning. If you're that kind of hungry, he said, you shall be filled. If you're that kind of hungry, he says, you shall be filled. But you got to be that kind of hungry. Amen. You got to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Have you ever seen a bunch of kids that weren't really hungry sit down to the dinner table? And they scoot the peas that way, and they scoot the peas that way, and they scoot the food that way, and they take a little bite here and there, and all the while you're like, come on, eat your food. You ain't going to get no dessert unless you eat. Hello? And they will shuffle the food around, take a bite here and there, and do just enough to try to convince you that they have done enough to warrant dessert. Hello? I ain't talking about that kind of hungry. I said, I ain't talking about that kind of hungry. If you're just nitpicking around the edges of the things of God and nibbling here and nibbling there, don't expect anything more in your relationship with God. I know it got really quiet, but I should preach that again. Because it's really that true. If you are just nibbling around the edges of God, nibbling around the things of God, a little here, a little there, a little there, a little here, shuffling the brain around, just trying to convince God that you're doing enough, your relationship is going no further than where it is. But if you're hungry, amen, God says, I got some promises for you. Amen. If you're hungry and famished, let's look more closely at our text this morning. Jesus has traveled through Galilee. He is preaching the word. Multitudes are following and gathering unto him, coming to him and looking for a miracle in their life. He healed their sick. He delivered the possessed. He freed their captives and people of all walks of life who were hungry, amen, and searching came to be fed by the Master's hand and by his words and by his deeds. Folks from Galilee, Decapolis, and Jerusalem, and from all over, amen, the other side of Jordan, they all came, amen, to be taught of him. And Jesus sets them down on a mountain one day, found in Matthew chapter 5. And he begins to speak unto them. I can see that scene unfold in my mind. I can see that scene begin to unfold. Amen. The multitude is gathered and Jesus sits down and he begins to teach them. And he taught them some of the most radical, some of the most powerful things that he would ever say to anyone. Matthew chapter 5. It is the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed, he says, when they which persecute you for righteousness' sake. Amen. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, he said, when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets also. But right in the midst of all of those things that he pronounces as a blessing, in verse 6 he says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. What does it mean, Pastor Gary, to hunger after righteousness? What exactly does that mean? The word righteousness means right standing. It means approval. It means doing what God approves of. Here's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are they that have a longing, a hunger, a fierce appetite to do what is right in the sight of God. Blessed are they that have a hunger to do what's right. How many of you know in our world today there are those that hunger to do whatever they want to do and whatever is right in their own eyes? Jesus said, blessed are they that have a hunger and a desire to do that which is right in the sight of God. They shall be filled. What he's saying is if you have a hunger and a desire, amen, to do what's right and to, amen, pursue the righteousness of God, he's telling us that he will fill us and he will enable us and he will help us to accomplish what we are hungering for. I said, how hungry are you for the things of God? What Jesus is talking about when he says in the Greek that hunger and thirst after righteousness, in the Greek it literally lends itself to the meaning of blessed are they that are starving to do the will of God, that are famining in their spirit, that are famished in their heart. Not talking about some kind of a little snack attack. Not talking about nibbling around the edges kind of mentality. Amen. But he's saying, blessed are they that have a hunger that is so intense that they become empty and vacant within themselves and they become desperate and ravenous and they begin to long and yearn for the reality of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst and crave after the divine presence of the Holy One. They shall be filled. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's talking about a desire that is so intense. Amen. A desire to know God and to serve God and to live rightly before God. He's talking about us coming to the place where there is a yearning and a longing in our heart to be filled with His presence. He's talking about us coming to a place where there is an obvious desperation and a thirst to know His holiness and to apply His holiness to our lives. He's talking about the kind of hunger that cannot be filled with the mundane things of life. He's not talking this morning about the kind of hunger, amen, that can be filled snacking around the edges, but he's talking about a hunger, amen, that only His Spirit can fill. Amen. He's talking about a hunger that longs for the things of God. The kind of hunger that says, amen, religious rituals will not cut it. Another dry, boring church service will not do. But I'm hungry for the things of God. He's declaring when you get to that place that you are hungry and longing for God's power and longing for His righteousness and longing for His sovereignty and His holiness, that you shall be filled. When God began to place this upon my heart, it's amazing how complacent we can become and not even realize it. I have told you, you know, from the pulpit before that there was a time I fasted for 30 days when God was leading me to go into the ministry. Funny thing about fasting, when you do it out long enough, your hunger just sort of goes away. When I fasted that 30 days, it was right through the holidays. It was through Thanksgiving and through Christmas. My wife said, "How could you pick a time like this?" I did a lot of cooking. I did a whole bunch of cooking while I was fasting. I mean, I'd have her taste it and all that sort of thing, but I did a lot of cooking. And there were some things that looked so good. I went, you know, if you'll put a little bit of that up, I'll put it in the freezer. I'll have some of that whenever I get done. I had a whole freezer full of stuff. But you want to know something that's really kind of odd? After about 3 days, 4 days, somewhere along in there, your hunger just sort of disappears. That growling in your, it just goes away. Your spiritual appetite's the same way. You do without long enough and you don't even realize you're hungry. You don't even realize you're starving to death. Hello? You don't even realize what you're missing. Don't even realize it. Amen. When God began to put this on my heart, I thought, you know, Lord, it's so easy for us to become complacent. It's so easy for us to just fall in line with the ordinary. But Lord, I'm hungry for more than just the ordinary. I'm hungry for more than just, amen, the ordinary. I'm hungry for more than just, amen, the usual. I'm hungry for more than just the touch. I want to be engulfed with the presence of the Lord. I can honestly tell you this morning that when God began to put this on my heart, I said to myself, Lord, I've come to the place where second best is not good enough. I don't want to just come to church and sing a couple of songs and preach a little sermon and say a little prayer and move on. I don't want to just come and be touched a little by the Holy Spirit, but I want to be engulfed in the presence of the Most High. I want to be changed. Amen. Within and without, and oh, surrounded by your grace and your presence. Amen, amen, amen. Did you this morning come hungry? Are you hungry? Did you come empty? Are you longing to be filled? Are you longing to receive? Are you expecting to receive? Are you expecting to be filled up? Amen. I got to tell you this morning, the Bible has a whole lot to say about hunger and being filled. Let me just share with you some scriptures. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. The psalmist put it this way. He said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so longs my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Psalm 63 in verse 1, the scripture said, O God, thou art my God, I will seek you early. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts and my flesh longs after you. My soul longs and my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalms 84 in verse 2, the psalmist said, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You hear the desperation in his voice. He said, my heart and my soul and my flesh cry out for the living God. I'm tired of this hunger on the inside, and only God can fill it. Psalms 107 and verse 9, the psalmist said, he satisfied the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. The apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. He said, oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Let me just ask you a simple question this morning. How many of you believe the apostle Paul knew who he was? And yet Paul said, I don't know him like I want to know him. I'm not full as I want to be. I'm hungry for more of God. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What I'm saying this morning is if you are hungry, God stands ready to fill your hungry heart. Amen. Over and over again, we see those in the scripture that are desperate for a touch from the Lord, desperately hungering for more of him. Let's look at some promises. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, the Bible said Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, saying, if any man thirst, picture it, there is a crowd gathered around. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, he said, come to me and drink. As the scripture has said, amen, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What Jesus is saying is that if you come to me, he'll give you a life-giving stream that'll be living waters to your soul. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You hungry? He's the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. Amen. He that believeth on me shall not thirst. Isaiah 55 and 1. Amen. The prophet said, oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come and buy and eat and drink. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What's he saying? He's saying the price is already been paid, and we can freely come and eat and drink that our soul may be satisfied. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, that means me. It's obvious that the imagery of hungering and thirsting after God is not only scriptural and biblical, but it is absolutely, amen, a biblical fact. From the prophets of the Old Testament to Jesus and through the New, or the book of the Revelation, people that are depicted as being portrayed as developing a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Psalms 119, verse 103, the psalmist said, "How sweet are thy words! Thy words unto me tasted sweeter than honey to my mouth." Job 23 and 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of your lips, but I have esteemed the words of your mouth." Job is saying of God, "I have esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food." Jeremiah 15 and 16, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." What I'm saying this morning is we need to have a hunger. Hunger develops passion. Where there is no hunger, there is no passion. Jesus has promised that when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we will be filled. When we hunger and thirst, when we hunger and we thirst, we will seek the presence of God. When we seek Him with all of our heart, He said, "I will be found." When we are hungry and thirsty, we will pursue God. We will pursue, let that word pursue sink into your spirit. We will pursue Him when we are hungry. Isn't it true that when you are physically hungry, you will raid every cupboard in the kitchen trying to find something that will satisfy your hunger? Hello? Here lately, my biggest weakness are them little peanut butter filled pretzels. You know, I do without breakfast, do without lunch, and then 5:30 rolls around and baby ain't home, and there ain't a can of pears for me to open. I will attack them little peanut butter pretzel things that she brings into the house. You hear what I'm saying? When we hunger, we will pursue something to satisfy that hunger. Well, when we are hungering for the God and the things of God, we will pursue God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. We won't let something stand in the way of going to the house of God. When we're hungry, when we're really hungry, we won't let anything stand in the way of getting, amen, between us and the Word of God, between us and the presence of God, between us and the Spirit of God. When we're really hungry, we'll pursue Him. We'll chase, we'll follow, we will pursue His presence. And let me just tell you this morning, our appetite is going to determine the direction and the course of our life. I'm going to try and wind down. Let me give you maybe one more scripture. I don't know. I have one. Isaiah 41, verse 17 through verse 18. This is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. "When the poor and the needy seek water." Listen to that verbiage. When the poor and the needy, is that the one that's hungering and thirsting? That's the poor and the needy. When the poor and the needy, when the one that's hungering and thirsting and famishing for the touch of God in their life, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and when their tongue fails for thirst. When their tongue fails for thirst, God says, I, the Lord, will hear them. And I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He says, I will open rivers in high places. And I will open fountains in the midst of the valley. And I will make the wilderness become a pool of water. And I will cause the dry land to spring up with water. What is he saying? He's saying when the poor and the needy, when the desperate, when the hungry and the thirsty come seeking for him, when they're searching for something that will satisfy their heart and satisfy their soul, he said, I'll open up rivers of living water that'll touch their heart and satisfy the need of their life. In other words, when you get desperately hungry, he'll give you direction and purpose and joy and peace, and he'll flood your heart. When you get to the point where you're starving for the Lord, he'll give you provision. He'll give you health and healing and blessing and strength and the anointing. Just seek after him, and you will find everything else that you need. I said I was only going to give you one more scripture. I'm going to give you one more. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. Seek him, and you'll find everything that you need. Oh, that God would give us at Elevation Worship Center signs and wonders and miracles of the moving of his Holy Spirit. Oh, that God would grant us the glory of his presence. That God would grant us the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and may the convicting power of God's presence fill our hearts and fill our building. Oh, that the anointing would pour down like rain in the midst of our worship service. Amen. That it would be fresh and relevant and packed with the power and the presence of a living God. Amen. Oh, that God would move amongst us so that others would see and say, there is something about those people and something about that church. It's not me. It's not you. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we need. What about you this morning? Are you hungry for forgiveness? Are you hungry for his grace? Are you hungry for restitution? Are you hungry for revival? Are you hungry, amen, to see God move in your life? Hungry people will often do desperate things. Hungry people will often do desperate things. Like Jacob when he wrestled with the angel. Do you remember that story in the book of Genesis? Jacob knew he was in trouble. He knew that his brother Esau was on the other side of that little creek. And this is what he said when Jacob wrestled with the angel. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to turn loose of you. Until you bless me. Why? Because he knew he was in trouble. And if he didn't hear from God, amen, things were going down from there. Can you say amen? Like Elisha when he followed Elijah, amen, and kept saying, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. Why would he do that? Because he was hungry for the manifestation and the reality of the power of God in his life. Desperate, hungry people do desperate things. When I was a kid growing up in the church, we used to sing an old hymn. It said, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. 'Tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. And the chorus said, come and dine. The master calls, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. I say to you this morning, if you are hungry, he will fill you. If you are ravished for the presence of the living God, he will flood your heart. If you are thirsty and in need of a drink, he will fill your spirit full. I'm going to close. Funny thing about hunger is after you have eaten well, you're no longer hungry. Right? But it wears off and you become hungry again. I'm not talking about a one-time filling. I'm talking about a continual fill-up. I'm not talking about being filled one time. I'm talking about a continual, nourishing fill-up. Bow your heads, please, all over the building, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning for enabling and helping me to speak your word. And now, Holy Spirit, I just leave it in your hands to the hungry heart. Say, come and dine. To the individual, Lord, that maybe has done without spiritually for so long that they don't even realize their spirit man is withering and dying. Speak to their spirit this morning. Renew and revive that hunger that they may passionately pursue right standing, right living, righteousness with you. Speak to us here today, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning and you would just be willing to lift up your hand and say, preacher, I am hungry. God, I am hungry. I'm hungry for you. I'm passionately pursuing after you this morning. I need your grace. I need your favor. I need your touch. God sees your hands. All over the building, God sees your hands. Stand to your feet if you will. Let me pray with those that lifted up hands. Lord, no one can satisfy the longing of their heart. No one can satisfy the longing of their spirit. No one can satisfy that craving, that gnawing, that hunger for you but you. Allow your Holy Spirit to feed the hungry this morning. We stand on your promise that the hungry shall be filled. Lord, thank you that we don't have to leave like we came. Thank you that we can leave filled and full, touched by the presence of your spirit and by the power of your anointing. Lord, touch every heart, every hand that went up, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you will feed them with your holy presence this morning. As we worship and as we sing one more chorus, touch their hearts. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up to overflowing in the mighty name of your Son, we pray. Amen.